Isaiah chapter 45. Now, this is about how God uses King Cyrus. Now, Cyrus then was the king of Persia, and he made the decree that the Jews who were in exile could go back to the land and rebuild Jerusalem. So you see here how God worked through a man who was probably not a believer, but he used this man as his servant. So thus says the Lord to his anointed. Now that's what the word Christ means. It means someone who has been chosen for a special job. Thus says Yahweh to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held to subdue nations before him and strip kings of their armor, to open the doors before him and the gates will not be shut. I will go before you and make the rough places smooth. I will break the doors of brass in pieces and cut apart the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that it is I, Yahweh, who call you by your name, even the God of Israel. So God spoke about Cyrus by name in advance of this man's existence, because these prophecies are being given by Isaiah well before the time of Cyrus, well before Judah had even gone into captivity. And of course he's saying the same about Israel, that I knew you from the beginning, I knew you by name. And so this is true of all of us, that God has known each of us by name. And our name is really our character, our personality. And so God knew each of us right from before the creation. And he's got this special, unique purpose with all of us. But, of course, people can turn away from it, just as Judah, most of them didn't go back to the land when Cyrus said they could, and just as Cyrus, it seems, didn't become the Messiah that perhaps he could have been. So, for Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, my chosen, I have called you, this is Cyrus, by your name, I've surnamed you, though you have not known me. So, Cyrus didn't know God, didn't have a relationship with him, but God still used him. Now you see how God can be active in our lives, using people maybe at school, in the workplace, wherever we are, in the family in which we live, neighbours where we live, he can use these people who may not even be believers in order to develop us spiritually and in order to do things for us, which is how God used Cyrus. I'm Yahweh and there is none else. Beside me there is no God. I will strengthen you, though you have not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun, that's in the east, and from the west, that there is none beside me. I am Yahweh and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create calamity. I am Yahweh who does all these things. So the fact there's only one God means that actually there is no being out there called Satan or the devil who is like a second God. There's only one God. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create calamity or evil. Now sin, of course, comes from us. That's our problem. It comes out of the human heart. But it's not so that God gives us all the nice things and then he's like a rich uncle who sort of just gives you nice prezzies all the time. And then there comes this evil fellow called Satan and sort of makes you break your leg or lose your job or have some sort of problem. No, all power is with God. And that's a very comforting thought, that we are not at the mercy of some other being, but that God is totally in control. There is no God. There is no power apart from him. Distill you heavens from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, that it may bring forth salvation, and let it cause righteousness to spring up with it. I, Yahweh, have created it. Woe to him who strives with his maker, a clay pot among the clay pots of the earth. Shall the clay ask him who fashions it, what are you making, or your work, he has no hands? Woe to him who says to a father, what have you become the father of, or to a mother, to what have you given birth? So don't strive with your maker. That's the point. And life is certainly a lot easier if you go the way that God clearly wants you to go. If you go the way of the flesh, That may appear to be the easier way, but it's not actually the easier way, because you're going against God. And so woe to him who strives with his maker. We are the clay, and God is the potter. And if we are soft, then we will respond to his hand. But if you become brittle and hard and difficult, then you're only making it more difficult for yourself. Thus says Yahweh, the Maker and Holy One of Israel, you can ask me about the things that are to come concerning my sons, and you command me concerning the work of my hands. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and I have commanded all their army. So, God's saying that I've created all things, including heaven and earth, and I'm working with you as well. I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will make straight all his ways. He will build my city, and he will let my exiles go free, not for price nor reward, says Yahweh of armies. So it's talking about how God was going to use this King Cyrus to let the exiles go free, and he did, but they wanted to stay behind. This is the sad ending, in my opinion, of the Book of Esther, that the Jews in exile are wealthy, they're popular, and they are absolutely not in a difficult position at all, finally. And so that's the problem. It was the soft life that meant that they wanted to stay there. That was the problem. It was the soft life all the time. And because of that, they didn't want the hope of the gospel, the hope of the restored kingdom of God, even though Cyrus was raised up to make it possible. And it's the same tragedy with so many people today. Thus says Yahweh, the labor of Egypt, the merchandise of Ethiopia, and the Sabaeans, men of stature, shall come over to you, and they shall be yours. They will go after you. They shall come over in chains, and they will bow down to you. They will make supplication to you. Surely God is in you, they'll say, and there is none else. There is no other God. Truly you are a God who has hidden yourself, God of Israel, the Saviour. So there is a degree to which God hides himself. But this does not mean that he is not passionate for us. I mean, if God was just living, let's say, 1 kilometre up into the sky, and if we saw God every day, then this would not at all create any love of God, any faith in God, any relationship with God. So, yeah, God does hide himself, but not because he is not interested. This is to test our faith. I mean, if God was like an ATM, like a bank machine, where you just put a card in and punched in 4 numbers and whoosh, out comes money. What do you want? Yeah, God's like the bank machine. No, God is not like that. Because if that's what he was like, there would be no relationship with him. So there is this element to which he hides himself. They will be disappointed, yes, confounded, all of them, those who are makers of idols. They will go into confusion together. Israel will be saved by Yahweh with an everlasting salvation. You will not be disappointed for ages everlasting. So this is a big theme that in Isaiah, that those who trust in idols will in the end be disappointed by them. And even though people can't admit it, those who've spent their lives following football clubs, spending their lives trying to get that dream house, that dream car, that dream holiday house, whatever, in the end, they are disappointed. They are too proud to admit it. And the only thing that will not disappoint is our relationship with God and Jesus. For thus says Yahweh, who created the heavens, the God who formed the earth and made it, who established it and didn't create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited, I am Yahweh and there is no other. So then, this earth will not be destroyed. Even though man would destroy it, if he was allowed full reign, but, I know he will, he is on the path to destroying the planet, but God won't let that happen. Jesus will come back before that happens because he did not create this earth in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. And when Jesus comes back and the kingdom of God is established on the earth and the promises to Abraham are fulfilled, then this earth will be inhabited forever. I have not spoken in secret, in a place of the land of darkness. I didn't say to the seed of Jacob, seek me, in vain. I, Yahweh, speak righteousness. I declare things that are true. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, you who have escaped from the nations. Those have no knowledge who carry the wood of their engraved image and pray to a God that can't save. Declare and present it. Yes, let them take counsel together. Who has shown this from ancient time? Who has declared it of old? Haven't I, Yahweh? There is no other God besides me, a just God and a Saviour. There is no one besides me. Look to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. So this is what we are trying to do, to say to the ends of the earth, look towards God and be saved. There is no other idol, belief system, thing that's worth anything in this life apart from him. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and will not return, that to me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall take an oath. Well, that's quoted in the New Testament in Romans about us at the Day of Judgment. Paul says, don't condemn your brother, don't pull down your brother, because it is written, to me every knee shall bow, and every tongue will confess. So, this is talking about us at the Day of Judgment. But at the Day of Judgment, we will bow before God and before Jesus. And because of that, and we will bow realizing our sins. And so Paul says, don't put down your brother. Don't put down your brother. Don't say, you're no good. You're this, you're that. You don't believe the right thing. You don't live the right way. You're not good enough. Because, Paul says, the day is coming when every knee shall bow. When we will meet Jesus, when he comes back. And when we meet Jesus, we will bow before him because we're going to realize I am not worthy. In Revelation, people bow before Jesus in the visions and they throw their crowns on the ground. In other words, they're saying, yeah, you gave me the crown, but I'm not worthy of that. So we're all going to feel, wow, we're all going to be so small. And there are times when man comes down very small before his maker, before God. And that is how we will be when Jesus comes back. And so Paul says, don't put down your brother now, because that is what's going to be your final end, to bow before him at the last day. They will say of me, there is righteousness and strength only in Yahweh. Even to him shall men come, and all those who are incensed against him will be disappointed. In Yahweh shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. So, he says that to me every knee will bow. Well, that's us at the Day of Judgment. And they will then say, there is righteousness and strength only in Yahweh. Then we will understand that I was counted righteous, that I am nothing, that all my righteousness is as dirty clothes. And his righteousness is all I have. And that is what's so wonderful. And we can believe that now. At the name of Jesus, Paul says in Philippians 2, every knee should bow now, just as we will on the Day of Judgment. You're going to stand there at the Day of Judgment before Jesus, say, oh, hi, Jesus, I lived a really good life. Don't know what you sort of died for me for. No, we're going to be very humble before Jesus in the last day. And that is how we should be now, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow now, because we will in the last day.